our introit. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me.
You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. We'll continue with the glory of Hatri.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning,
that your grace may always go before and follow after us, that we may continually be given to all good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Testament reading is from 1 Kings 17, verses 17 to 24. For the sermon this morning, we're going to be considering really the Old Testament reading here and the Gospel reading together. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God?" You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son. And he said to her, give me your son. And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son? Then he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried to the Lord, O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again. And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. And the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 30 responsively on pages 8 and 9. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. As for me, I said in my prosperity, by your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. To you, O Lord, I cry. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing.
You have loosened my sackcloth, clothed me with gladness,
that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent.
O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Our epistle reading is from Ephesians 3, verses 13 through 21. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please arise for the gospel reading. Alleluia! You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the gospel of the Lord. Confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We'll sing hymn 708.
We pray. O Lord, to whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Amen. Dearly beloved, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who alone raises the dead. And the dead man sat up. As far as opening sentences go, that's really quite a good one. Imagine if you opened a book and that was the first line, and the dead man sat up. It's intriguing. It's powerful. It makes you wonder, what happened to him before? Why was he dead? How is he sat up? Is he alive? How did that happen? Who raised him? And what's he going to do now? Of course, that's not actually the first line of our gospel reading or of our Old Testament reading, but it is the first line in your story. More on that later. For now, let's back up. Let's back up earlier in the gospel text and take a look at these two crowds. There are two crowds of people coming towards each other down this road outside the city of Nain. They are in every way opposites. They're going opposite directions, and there isn't room enough on the road for the both of them. One of them is jubilant. This crowd comes with Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, at the front. They are celebrating because he has just healed the centurion's servant. They are victorious. They are glad. Coming the other direction, out from the city, is a crowd with the only son of a mother lying dead on a bier. And they are mourning. Both crowds are very large. The one with Jesus, swollen with his disciples and with the people who have seen his miracles. The crowd from the city, filled with everybody that knew her. And in a small town like that, it's probably pretty much everyone. And they are mourning. They're torn apart at this woman who has lost her only son after she has lost her husband. They don't have anything they can do to help her other than to just be there with her and weep with she who weeps. One of these crowds has to move aside for the other one. And common decency would state that that should be Jesus, right? This celebratory crowd should move aside, should let the funeral procession pass. They should probably even kind of dim their joyous celebration a little bit. But Jesus is not going to do that. He stops the funeral procession right in its tracks. He walks up to the coffin. He puts his hand upon it. He says to the grieving mother, "Do not weep." Who could do such a thing? If you did that at a funeral, it would be audacious. It would cause quite a scene. It would be terrible. What must the mother be thinking through all of this? It's probably not that hard to imagine. And you know, with the other mother, we don't have to imagine. What I mean is, if we go back again, if we back up our story this morning, and we go back before this mother lost her son, back before she lost her husband, back before they were born, back several hundred years to another town in a nearby country, to another mother, another widow, who has also just lost her only son, we don't have to imagine what she was feeling because she told us. I'm talking, of course, about our Old Testament reading. It picks up where we left off last week in the Old Testament section there. Elijah has come to this widow of Zarephath. He has told her by the word of the Lord that the jar of oil isn't going to run out and the jar of flour isn't going to run dry until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. So every day, this woman makes one last meal for herself and her son and the prophet, and they eat, and then the next day, they do it again. Day after day, for many days, they eat. And then, her son dies, even though he has plenty of food. And she is torn apart. Not just because her son is dead, but because the whole thing seems like a betrayal, like a cop-out, like a trick, like a caveat, written in small print. God had promised to miraculously provide food for them, and then her son dies anyway? What was the point of the daily bread, then, she must be thinking. And look what she says. "What have I to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." Now, in one way, what she says isn't all that fair. Elijah didn't cause the death of her son. When Elijah came to her, She was already resigned to death for both herself and her son. She was gathering sticks. She said she was going to make one last meal for them to eat before they died. But what's changed is that she has hope. It feels to her like this prophet and his God are just tormenting her, giving her hope only to snatch it away. And this makes her immediately think of her sin. That's what she says. You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance. Was that one sin in particular, or the whole heart-heaving mass of all of it? Regardless, it seems to her that God has done all of this just to rub it in. And isn't that how tragedy often strikes us? God, why did you do this to me? What is even the point of this life? Why do you preserve me day after day in order to send troubles like this? Why do you let this world continue when it is filled with so much evil? God, why am I still here? God, is this because of my sin? Are you punishing me? And folks, if you've never been there before, a time will come when you will. A time where some tragedy will feel like an arrow aimed right at your heart by an angry God, where you will remember something you have done, or just the great mass of all of your sins, and you will feel like God is singling you out and punishing you for it. But that isn't true. That isn't what God was doing to this woman. He did let her son die. It is God alone who kills and makes alive. It was God who did that. But he did it in order to raise him. And it is clear why. She says so at the end. Now I know that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. Think how much more joy she had in her son after this than she did before. She would have treasured him now, not just as her son, but as the son that God gave back to her. Now, he was every day the living proof of God's faithfulness to her, not a remembrance of her sin, but of God's grace. And it was the same for the widow of Nain. From heartache and crushing despair to the joy of holding her son warm and alive again. And this was the beginning of a new story for both of them. The dead man sat up. How much more he meant to her now. Every single day that she had with him was a day that was given back to her by God. A son who was the son that Jesus gave back to her so that she could see him grow and see the ways that he would be like his father and the ways that he would not. To maybe see him married and have children and grandchildren and to be able to tell them all of the day that she went out to bury her son in the ground. And how instead this Jesus met them whom they had not expected and turned death back in its tracks with a hand of command and power. And then think what must they have thought when they heard the news. Just as the news here of this miracle spread through the surrounding country, what about when they heard the news spreading throughout Israel of the dead man who sat up, of the Jesus who was crucified, whose disciples said that he lived again? You better bet they believed it. And how much joy this gave them. What comfort it was when she herself one day had to die. And what comfort it was to this son who likely now went out to bury his mother. And when he himself was taken out again. Jesus didn't meet those funeral processions on either of those days. He didn't stop them in their tracks. He didn't raise the mother. He didn't raise the son a second time. But both of them now knew something for sure. And it was that one day he would. That the procession of Jesus' life and victory over death would turn back death in its tracks every single time. It means that his word is true. It means that you have hope in all things. And it means that your story now starts like this. And the dead man, or the dead woman, sat up. You see, this repeated theme is not a coincidence. We read it in the Old Testament reading. The dead man sat up and he gave him back to his mother. And then we read it in the New Testament reading. The dead man sat up and he gave him back to his mother. And both of them are only sons. And both of them are pointing to something. They're pointing to Jesus. First of all, they are pointing out the fact that Jesus is true God. For you'll notice that when Elijah did it, and also when Elisha did the same thing a little while later to the son of the Shunammite woman, he had to pray. He stretched himself out three times. He pleaded with God to bring the life back into this child. But when Jesus raised this boy, he didn't pray. He didn't have to ask anyone to do what he himself could do. He said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And Jesus, the Son of God, who has life in himself, conquered death by his powerful word. But these sons also point to Jesus in another way. You see, Jesus is another one in this line, in this repeated theme of the only sons being raised from the dead. But with Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, the only son of his mother, he wasn't given back to his mother. That's not what it says in the gospel account. You don't find a place in any of the gospel readings where it says, "and he gave him back to his mother." You don't find a place where Jesus met with Mary. In fact, no, before that, on the cross, you see Jesus saying to Mary and the apostle John, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Because when Jesus was raised from the dead, the point wasn't that God the Father was giving him back to her. It was that he was giving him back to you. He has raised him and seated him as head over all things and given him as head over all things to his church. He is the Son that God has given back to you so that with him he might give you all things, so that this might be your story, the first line, "and the dead man sat up." Because Jesus sat up and rose from death in that grave, that now is the beginning of you. It is the beginning of who you are in Christ Jesus, that his life has conquered the death in you and raised you to the new life, first of all, of faith. For Paul says, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, but you who were dead, he has made alive together with Christ Jesus." So that when he sat up in the tomb and conquered death, you sat up with him. You rose to a new life. So this means that Jesus has not come to you to bring your sins to remembrance, but his grace to forgive you and love you and shine the light of eternity upon you. He has come to speak this word, "Young man," or "Little girl, I say to you, arise," and you have. That is what faith is. It is a resurrection as miraculous as any. And it is also one which promises the one to come. For if God has raised you in soul, he will surely raise you in body. If God has made you partakers of the first resurrection, as the book of Revelation says, over you, the second death has no power. The day is going to come when he who is not punishing you for your sins, because he bore them for you, when he who has never forsaken you, not even when you go to the grave, when he who will not forget his faithfulness or his promises to you, will raise you up from death itself and give you back to one another. For he will raise up with you all of those who trust in Jesus Christ as the Savior from sin. And that means that he has also given you back to each other right now. You see, it's the same as it was with those mothers and their sons. We just forget it all the time. Every day that you have with those you love is a day that God has given back to you. It is a day that you, because of your sins, do not deserve. It is only through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. That's why you're here, after all. I mean, look around. Why is it that you remain here in this world, in this valley of sorrows, the place where every rose you pluck pierces you with 1,000 thorns, where you grow old and watch as more and more of your aspirations fail, where you understand more and more the worthlessness of all of your works, where you see loved ones fall like autumn leaves, and the sun, which shone for you in the morning of your youth, grows ever more towards a bitter sunset? Why? Well, this is part of God's gracious purpose in suffering. He wants you to see this world for what it is, that you may long for something better. He wants you to walk with him in the valley of the shadow of death, that you might trust in him to raise you in the light of his resurrection. He wants you to see that everybody else out there, they've got it all turned around. The ones that say things like, you only live once, they grieve as people who have no hope, as if death is the end, as if death has robbed life and turned Jesus' procession back. They fear their own end as something terrible, and it is if they do not trust in Christ. That would be true if God had not given his son back to you and in him given you life. But the gospel now means that you can look forward even to the day of your death. As Bach once put it, then you will lap honey from the jaws of the lion. For if this world is like a rose that pricks you with 1,000 thorns, then because of Jesus, death is a thorn that blossoms into endless roses. And so this begs the question again, if Christ is risen and God has given him to us and one eternal life for you, then why wait? Yes, he wants you to know about the life to come. He wants you to long for it. But why not just bring you there now? Why sustain you day after day with daily bread for 20, 40, 60, or 80 years? Why not just bring us there now? Well, for the same reason he gave those sons back to their mothers. You are here for one another. You are here because you are someone's son or daughter or father or grandfather or friend or neighbor. You are here to bring their Savior to their remembrance. You are here to serve them and to love them, to be the dead men and women who are dead no longer, who get up and live and speak. You are here to tell the story of how God has given us his son back, how he has raised you from death and will raise you forever, to spread that news everywhere, the way that it's spread throughout Judea, so that you might know, and others might know, that the word of the Lord is the truth, and that this is how your story has already begun, and will begin again in the endless day of Christ's resurrection, and the dead man sat up. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please arise. We'll continue with the offertory.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with all of our wants and our troubles, our sorrows and our fears. Since you have reconciled us to yourself in Jesus Christ and have invited us to pray to you as our Father who knows us, loves us, cares for our every need. Therefore, we pray for your blessing upon all of us here who have heard your word this morning, that you would give to us that life of faith, that resurrection from the dead, which only comes through Jesus Christ, that you would keep us living in that faith which you have given, which you gave us through word and sacrament, in the waters of baptism, in which you sustain us by your life-giving spirit. Grant that we might get up and speak of your good news, that we might love one another as you have given us back to each other now, that we might live in the true hope and steadfast faith of the resurrection to eternal life, that we might not despair or be discouraged in this world with all of its troubles and sorrows. Grant that we might be ready to speak and to show a word of sympathy to those who are suffering, to weep with those who weep, even while we are able to give them the promise of the day when you will wipe away every tear. We ask for your blessing upon all of those who are suffering, who are troubled in body or soul or mind, all of those who are sick, who are recovering, who are doubting or depressed or in darkness of any sort. Come to them, Lord, with the good news of your Son's resurrection and his defeat of death. Grant that it might sustain them in this valley of sorrows and be the light when all other lights have gone away. We ask for your blessing upon our congregation and our community and on our synod in this country and throughout the world and on your holy Christian church in every place, that it would continue to shine the light of the gospel, that many might hear it and believe. We keep before you in our prayers also all of those who are suffering or troubled in any way in our synod or in our midst. We pray for Pastor John Hine and for Pastor Emeritus Dan Fleischer. Grant them healing in their body according to your will and comfort and hope in their hearts. We pray for Renee Zellweger, who is Joy's friend, that you would grant her faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for Leslie's grandniece, for their family as they suffer from this tragedy, that you would give them hope and faith in the comfort of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, even for all of those that we each remember before you, trusting in your mercy and your compassion and your power, which have no end. We ask these things through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please arise. We continue on page 16 in your bulletin with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. May open the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Now the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true Christian faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true Christian faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true Christian faith into life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Jesus bless you. Take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true Christian faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Please arise. And we'll continue with verse 3 of hymn 548. It's also printed on page 20 in your bulletin as our post-communion song of thanks.
For the joy thine advent gave me, for thy holy precious word, for thy baptism which doth save me, for thy blessed communion board, for thy death the bitter scorn, for thy resurrection morn. Lord, I thank thee and extol thee, and in heaven I shall behold thee.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this saving gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through it, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. For our closing hymn, we will sing hymn 598. A joy to be with you here and share in God's gifts given to us in word and sacrament to raise us to eternal life. Thank you, Barb, for playing for us. Thank you for ushering. Thank you for everybody who helped out with Sunday school today. Rachel is in Wisconsin, so Barb filled in with that. A few things, I'm still working out a few kinks with my bulletin preparation, but I hope the font was better. I enlarged that and it seems much bigger to me, but those of you who notice such things, please let me know. If it was big enough, should be bigger, let me know. I noticed and then forgot to remove some of the things in the, I did get that right. It must have been an older version that I sent out that had some of the wrong information about the schedule this week. That one's updated. It's just that the date isn't. That's the problem there. So we do have, if anybody wants to stay to join a choir, stay after and we will begin working on a couple of pieces. And then this week, Mark and Barb and I are all going to the Pacific Coast Pastoral Conference in Spokane. I'll be flying out, I think they're also flying out on Monday, and then I'll be back on Thursday. Hi, buddy. Can you come? So, still obviously available for an emergency of any sort. You can reach me by my phone. Yes, Tim.
We noticed before the service there was a pretty significant leak on the west, next to the west wall. So we turned off the water just prior to the service. So anybody staying after church, be aware that the water to the building has been turned off.
Yeah, it looked like a fount of living waters out there.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like there was something else I was just going to mention, and then I forgot it. Oh, well.
One more thing.
Yeah.
I just learned that it's Ellie's birthday tomorrow. Ooh.
Happy birthday, Ellie. Do we typically sing?
Sure.
All right. Should we sing? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ellie. Happy birthday to you. Well, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with each of you.